morning's message is, what's that smell? Amen? And there's some good applications for masks, but I'm telling you, let's be out busy. There's one, there's someone that you know that needs Christ, and you say, oh, I don't want to bug them. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for a neighbor lady that kept bugging my grandma. And my wife wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for some bus ministry that came by and knocked on the door every Saturday. That's just a reality. Christ blesses our efforts by importunity. Read Luke in chapter number 18. And as we are continually just knocking and knocking and knocking on the Lord's door, and I'm telling you, the Christian life's the same way. If you'll just keep going and keep going and keep going, the Lord is going to bless importunity, one that continues to persist in the things that they ought to persist in. And in the gospel effort, the church, listen, we as a church must persist in the gospel effort, even though we get emails and phone calls and Alex got Thursday night, Alex got yelled at for a lady who wasn't wearing a mask about not wearing a mask. It was awesome. But we must go. We got to go. We got to be involved in it. Find Exodus in chapter number 30. Exodus in chapter number 30. Other than, I think, the mask wearing, I don't know what this message has to do with Friend Day, but I'm excited about it. And I'll tell you, it's needful in our day. The message we're going to look at today is needful in our day and time. And this is one thing we need to be mindful of, that while dispensations of God's of how God works among men have changed, we know this: God changes not. Amen. Right? So dispensations of how God helps us to understand who He is and how men approach unto Him, those change. God Himself does not change. And it's important as we approach our text this morning to understand this, that God still desires that things smell right. Amen? He still desires that. It still should be the goal of the believer to smell right. Amen? I mean, when I said, have you ever smelled something wrong? Everybody knows what wrong smells like, right? I mean, it doesn't take much definition at all. We are going to define it a little bit here in a minute, but come on. When you smell something that's wrong or off, the question is, what is that smell, right? But when something smells right, you know that as well. Come on, we instinctively know it. And you say, well, am I right and somebody else is right? Like, I like fruity smells and they like musky smells or whatever. But come on, we all can stop and we can say, all right, that don't smell good or that does smell good. That smells right or that smells wrong. We all have that because, well, not everybody. Some people are blessed. They don't know one way or another, and praise the Lord, you know. No, I don't. I'm just joking. But the title of this morning's sermon, what's that smell? If you would stand with me in honor in God's word, Exodus in chapter number 30. We're going to start in verse number 22. We're going to read down through the end of the chapter. It says, moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels of sweet cinnamon, half as much, even 250 shekels of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive oil and hine. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. And I just thought this was an interesting, I don't know how much we'll get to it, but I thought this was interesting. God knew the amount that He wanted, and He knew what the cost of it was. That's really important for us to grasp about who God is. Because God is not asking them for stuff that He doesn't say, listen, I have no idea how much it costs and I don't care. No, God knew exactly how much it cost. And I want you to understand that these things that He was requesting were precious. But He had a purpose for them. And it says in verse number 26, and thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation wherewith the ark of the testimony and the table of and all his vessels and the candlestick and his vessels and the altar and the of incense and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels and the laver and his foot. And you say, what's mean all the vessels? That means everything that had anything to do with any of the tabernacle, like any of the bowls or the spoons or anything, all of those things, right? If they used it at the burnt offering, then this, listen, it needs to be anointed with this oil. If they used it, even the foot, right, of the table needs to be anointed with this oil. If it has anything at all to do with it, it needs to be anointed. Why? Look at verse 29. Why? That thou shalt sanctify them, right? God wanted them to be sanctified and that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron, the people that use the things. The individuals that even picked up the spoon that needed to be anointed, they needed it to be anointed, and his sons, and consecrate them, and they shall minister unto me in the priest's office, and thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Now look at this. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured. And you say, well, that kind of contradicts the idea of Aaron and his sons being anointed with it. But understand, they were anointed with it for special use. In this sense, it was not to be common at all. This is for special use. It's not for personal, man, I like the smell of that. I want some of that for myself. No, no, no. It's only to be consecrated for the service of the tabernacle and the service of the Lord. And so it is not to be common. So upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. That composition, those things right there, they are holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. So verse number 33, whosoever compoundeth any like it and whosoever putteth any upon a stranger shall even be cut off from his people. And the Lord said unto Moses, I mean, that's a strict, rule right there for just using a compound. Yeah, yeah, because it's for me. It's mine. It's to be holy. It is in no way to be considered common. Verse 34, and the Lord said unto Moses, take unto these sweet spices, stacked, and I tried to get these names, I'll mess them up, oicha and galbanum, these sweet spices, and pour, and pure frankincense, of each shall there be a like weight, and thou shalt make a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small and put it before the testimony of in the tabernacle of the congregation where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make it to yourselves according to the composition thereof, it shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from the people, from his people. God's real serious about this smells, these ointments, these compositions. Well, let's pray and then we'll get into our message for today. What's that smell? Dear God, we thank you so much for your love. And Lord, I thank you for the music this morning and touch my heart. And I pray, Lord God, that you would allow that our hearts would be affected for the gospel's sake today. And God, that we would be active this next week. And God, that you'd be glorified this next week. And Lord, I pray that you'd be glorified even this morning. Lord, would our hearts be turned toward heaven? Would our minds be given to your word? And would your Holy Spirit do a work? I don't want to get in your way. I don't want my words to contradict yours, Lord God. I want to aid them. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to do that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, smells, odors, fragrances, they can affect us in a major way. They really can. I know this, that sometimes I can smell something and it gives me a headache. I mean, just the odor of it, the smell of it can cause my head to hurt. And they say that the sense of smell is most linked to the memory. You can smell something and it can cause you to have a memory of childhood, right? I mean, you can just, I mean, in your mind's eye, you can go back there in just a second. And many times, you know, you can, you know, get cooking for, you know, Thanksgiving's coming, you know, and you can walk into the house and it can be good and it can be bad, right? I mean, you can walk into the house and you go, man, that's just like mom or grandma used to make it. I mean, it just smells right. Or you can go, man, that's not anything like what mom and grandma used to make. You know, we did something wrong, you know. But come on, those smells, those odors, I mean, it can take you back to the time when you were a kid and the memories that you could have there. You could drive out through Linden. And I remember when I was a kid, you know, my dad would, anytime we'd drive by a feed yard or something like that, where there was a lot of cattle or, you know, pigs or something, my dad would always say, smell that money, you know, and so I do that to my kids too when we drive by or, you know, anywhere around Linden. We make those comments, you know, smell that money, you know, it's a reality. Those smells can cause us to go somewhere in our mind. I think many of, when you talk about smells, sometimes we can remember bad smells more than we remember good smells. I never will have chickens on property that I own that I'm responsible for, right? Because of, you know, childhood. Amen. And having to smell while I was cleaning up, the chicken coop and gagging while I was, you know, raking out the hay. And some of you didn't get to have that wonderful experience in your life. I'll just warn you, if you have thoughts of grandeur about having your own farm fresh eggs, there's some smells involved there. Amen. There's some odors involved in that kind of work. And I remember cleaning out the chicken coops. I remember, man, one of the worst memories of my life. And anytime I smell chickens, anytime I get close to a hint of chickens, I go back to when I was about 13, 14 years old, and we moved to Harper, Kansas, and we bought a farm a few miles out in the country, and it had been let go for years and years. One of the barns, it was like a three or four bay garage, and the people just left it open, and they had guineas. They had guineas everywhere. Guineas are good for stickers. They'll eat all your stickers. They're good for snakes. You won't have any snakes, but they have no respect to anything other than that, right? And they like to roost and make a mess. And it had been for years that they'd let that barn go. I don't know how many years, but I'm talking years. I remember my brother Caleb and I got out there in that barn, and Dad pulled the trailer up there and he said, start scooping. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm not making this up. It's not like, oh, he's just remembering what it was a kid. I'm not joking. It was like 2 feet of guinea stuff just had dropped there and dropped there. I'm just telling you, I don't get around chickens, but that my mind doesn't remember that smell and goes right back to that barn. And I could almost have a gag reflex a little bit when I smelled that because of the horrible days of cleaning that barn out. And smells have memories that are attached to them. And come on, you could have some of the same experiences, some good and some bad. Amen. That when you just smell something that you're just like, I know what that, I mean, that just puts my mind in memory of this. And it reminds me of that. Sometimes you might walk by someone who's wearing a particular fragrance, and you think, "Man, my mom used to wear that," or my grandfather had that odor about him, and not a bad odor. I mean a good odor, right? I mean, Carrie got this new hair product, and it smells like like grandma, you know. And I was like, man, it just smells like a vitamin cabinet, you know. And I was like, I was giving her a hug last night when she go to bed. I'm like, what did you wash your hair with? You know, it reminded me of my grandmother, my grandfather. He was a nutritionalist, and they had all sorts of oils and, you know, pills and, you know, vitamin pills. You walked into their house, and if you want to know what their house smelled like, go smell Carrie's hair. Just go smell her hair, and that's what their house smelled. Don't do that. Yeah, that's probably right. Take my word for it. That's what their house smelled like, all right? If you smell her hair, she might punch you. Because I've told her to punch people who do weird things. And okay, but anyway, but consider the camp of Israel. It was rather large. In fact, the estimation, we don't know the exact number, but the estimation of the size of the camp of Israel would have been in the hundreds of thousands, and many would estimate it to be to a million plus people that exited out of the land of Egypt and now were journeying through the wilderness and were in a desert in a hot place, gathered together, and they were going to be structured and ordered around. But at this very moment in time, some of those structure wasn't even there yet. There were still some people that were kind of just, I mean, it would just be a reality. They were doing some things the way they want to do them. And it was not going to be too long, as you would read throughout the Old Testament and into the book of Leviticus and Numbers, that God was going to begin to, you know, outline some stuff for them. Like, you know, where your toilets need to be. Amen. In the wilderness. Camping toilets. And it's always to be outside the camp. And, you know, sometimes you think of rules, and why do we have particular rules? Some reasons we have rules are because of, well, some of us, right? If we didn't break the rule, there'd be no reason for the rule. But when we did it, everybody said, this should not happen this way. And there's going to be some regulations about things that happen. Listen, outside the camp and in the camp. And but I want us to understand, they were not living with modern day amenities out in the desert. It wasn't like, I mean, yeah, we're camping, but we got this cool shower trailer. From the government that they gave to us, and we can take showers there. We can go to the bathroom there. No, no, no. They were camping in a hot wilderness, right? And without baths. Amen. And come on, we can start to get the odors because probably most of you, your parents suffered you through camping at least once or twice in your life. Amen. And you got in the middle of camping, and it wasn't bad while you're all camping because you all smelled the same, right? But understand, you'd get around other people, and they go, man, you've been out in the wilderness for a few days or what? You know, what's wrong with, you know, why would they even walk in here smelling like that? But listen, they didn't have the same kind of hygiene, and they were living in tents, and they were they were not bathing in the ways that we would in our modern day, and they were not using facilities in the way we would in our modern days. And with all those things combined with the heat, ew, right? I mean, come on. The odor could have, I mean, I'm not trying to exaggerate this or build it up, but I know what we smell like when we come home from man camp that's taking place here in, you know, the month of November, and I'm looking forward to it. And I know what the men smell like in the car ride home, and I can just imagine that multiplied with the, you know, and we have somewhat facilities. Imagine the smell and the odor of that camp. It would have, by our day standard today, it would have been pungent. It would have been a pungent aroma. And I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings or anything like that, but if you went to the Middle East even today, you'd find out this, that they do things a little different over there than we do here. And I'm just saying, it's just a way of life. They're a manner of life. And so go back a few thousand years and imagine what it was to be in the wilderness with a bunch of sweaty people who had no baths and had no facilities and were living in tents. Be joyous, wouldn't it? I mean, delicious, right? I mean, come on. It would have been a smell just of the people themselves. And then I want you to consider this. When they were going through all the things that God was telling them to go through, and they were making the things and doing the things, and sacrifices begin to be made, I'm telling you, there would have been an odor of that. And the reason the sacrifices were being made is because they were who they were, and they were sinners, and therefore sacrifices were going to be made. And if you've ever been around something that has been dead and has died, there's an odor there. Whether you realize it or not, I'm just telling you, if you've been around bloodshed, there is an odor that is involved. If you've been around death, there is an odor that is involved. And then think about this. They took that animal and they threw it on a burnt offering and they set it on fire and the fire consumed it. And come on, I don't know if you just have been around that at all, if you stood around, but there is an odor that is there. And many times it's not like, whew, that's just pleasant. I mean, that blood smell in the air, I mean, that's just pleasant. I'm just telling you, it's not. It's not. And that was all outside the camp. I mean, that was what was going on. I mean, you had the conditions of the people themselves, and you had the conditions that were taking care of the sins of the people. All of them would have created odors that would have been less than desirable for the human nose to smell, for you and I to smell. And the order of the camp of Israel and the things that were going on there, listen, it would have been somewhat of a disgusting odor. And so God now gives instructions. And God's design is that the things that they smell in the camp and the things that are happening in regard to their sin at the altar, listen, smell different than who He is. And then the things that are going to take care of their sin and their human condition. God desires for them to smell different. He didn't desire it to smell like humanity. He didn't desire that His things would smell like death. That's not at all what He desired. He desired a very distinct aroma that would be connected with the things of Himself, with the things of the tabernacle, and with the things that were to point men unto the holiness of God and the sanctity of God and the purity of who God was. He wanted a distinct aroma and perfume to come from them. And so He wanted it to be different and distinct. So He called for an ointment to be made of an apothecary, a compound. And He said, listen, I want you to take these these different spices, and I want you to take myrrh and sweet cinnamon and camas and cassia, and I want you to blend those together, and there's different weights of them that are going to go in together, and you're going to make an anointing oil. And He says this twice in our text. He says this, that it is in verse number 25, and then again in verse number 31, that it is a holy anointing oil. You might want to turn me down a little bit, because we're just getting going. It's a holy anointing oil, and I want you to make those things after the work of the apothecary, which means this. I want you to throw them all in the pot, mix them all together, and they're going to take this oil, and you're going to begin to anoint everything, and I don't want anything left undone. You're going to put it on the altar, and you're going to put it on the candlestick, and you're going to put it on the table of showbread, and you're going to put it on the, and you're going to cover everything and anything associated with it. I don't want it to smell like humanity, and I do not want it to smell like death, and I do not want it to smell like sin. I want it to have a distinct odor, and I don't want anybody else using this oil for any other kind of anointing whatsoever. It's not like, man, I love how the temple smells, and I'm going to anoint my body with those things so I can smell like the temple. No. He said, listen, only for the use of the tabernacle and only for the use of my things are you to use this oil. It's not to be sold. It's not to be mass produced. It's not to be bottled. But when people come around the things of God, it should smell in such a way that they would not get that odor from anywhere else other than at the tabernacle. That when they walk into this place, when they walk out of that camp, when they walk into this tabernacle, they should smell me and not them. And they shouldn't be smelling humanity. And listen, and when they put that sacrifice on the altar, listen, I want that sacrifice to be mingled with me. And remember this, Christ our sacrifice, the God-man. Amen? The God-man. And so that altar that was out there and that burnt sacrifice that was there, it was to be anointed with oil because He wanted the altar to smell like Him. He wanted the sacrifice to be a payment for humanity. And in the mixture of the two, listen, they were to smell God at the same time as their sin was being dealt with. And then get this. And then the closer they got to the tent of the tabernacle, there was to be a stronger odor. I mean, come on. Sacrifice, remember, was the first thing that happened when you came into the tabernacle. And then you got closer to the tent and closer to the holy place. And as you went in the holy place, everything in there was anointed with this oil. Everything in there had been touched with this oil. And as you went in, it wasn't the stench and the mixture of that oil plus a burnt offering and a sacrifice for the sin of man. They got into that tabernacle. And it was all the smell of Christ. Yeah. Because the sin had been taken care of. Because God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son that we might be able to be saved. And I'm just saying this, the closer they got to God, the better it smelled. The further they got away from their sin, and the closer they got to God, the better it smelled, and the stronger the smell would have been, that this oil had been anointed with, that everything there is anointed with it, and it was continually being anointed with this special perfume that was for the things of God and God alone. And just so it smelled even better, God said this: I want you to make a perfume. Now, I would not, I wear eau de toilette. I don't know about you, you know, but I don't know why they call it that. That's weird, but this is French, I guess. But listen, they're going to make a perfume. I know in our minds, come on, we think, well, my wife wears perfume. I would never wear it. Come on. It's a fragrance. That's what they're making. They're making a fragrance. And can we get this? This is where he said to put it. If you notice where it says, I want you to put it, where, look at the verse, verse number 35. Thou shalt make a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, and tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put it, look at this, before the testimony of the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. So shall it be unto you most holy. Say, where is this? This was in front of the Holy of Holies. If you go back to the beginning of chapter number 30, he talked about the altar of incense. And this is the perfume that was going to be taken. And it was going to be daily placed, twice a day. They were going to place this on the altar of incense. It was going to be offered up as a sweet-smelling savor unto God. And it was the perfume that was only unto God. Its mixture, its confection, it was only to be used at this place and at this time. And understand, where God was going to meet, and when God met with them, he wanted men, as they approached unto where he was and the place where he met with them, he wanted their nostrils not to be filled with the stench of humanity, not to be filled with the stench of sin and death. He wanted their nostrils, as they met with him, to be filled with a fragrance that was only known unto him and for him and about him. Yeah. It was supposed to fill their senses. And when they smelled it, look, come on. When you smelled these things, when you smelled this oil, this anointing, this holy anointing oil, when you smelled this perfume that was pure and holy before God and only in the place of God and was not to be used for men's, for humanity's sake, it was not to be used for the common man, it was only for those things that were for the service of the tabernacle and in the service of the tabernacle to God. And this perfume, it goes on and it says, listen, this is a mixture that we sell and we just make profit of. This is unto me only. And we can get this kind of idea that as you would smell this fragrance, you were smelling God. You were literally coming into the presence of God, and you were able to know where you were and to recognize where you were. And if you could get this in your mind, you could literally close your eyes and that fragrance could fill your nostrils and your mind could go to the reality that there is a God and I'm in his presence and he is holy and he is pure and I am to be sanctified unto him. That was the purpose of the perfume, and that was the purpose of the oil. Is God wanted them to know that, listen, the things out there of humanity that you're involved in, and the things to do with death and sin that are a result of your humanity, listen, I desire to cover them. I desire to cover them with some different smells than you as a human being would leave in a natural state. I desire for them to smell a little different. Neither of these were to be used for common use. They were both to be pure, holy, and sanctified to the Lord. So when anyone got around things dedicated unto the Lord, there'd be a reality. It would pass the, well, we could call this, the smell test. You with me? Passes the smell test. I mean, that would be the reality of what was going on. They would not be confused with anything else in this world. They wouldn't say, man, this smells like Egypt a little bit. No. You know, this smells like some of the other nations that are around us. No. You know, this smells like, you know, brother so-and-so's tent over there. No, it wouldn't. This reminds me of, no, it would remind you of nothing other than God and his holiness and his purity and his desire for sanctification to take place among the things that are his. That's what it would remind you of. That was the purpose of it. And you could literally close your eyes, as we said, and you could find yourself there in that place and find yourself smelling just the smell of those things and be reminded of who God is. Outside the tabernacle, the smell of humanity and death that was due to the sin of man was pungent, and inside, a holy, sanctified, pure odor only associated to God and God alone. And may I say that God has not changed. He has not changed. He's not changed one bit. He still desires, listen, he still desires that those things that are to be sanctified, holy, and pure unto him are to smell holy and sanctified and still be pure unto him. You say, well, what things would that be of God? That we could start here with this right here. That ye are the temple of God. No. You yourself, if you know Christ as your personal Savior, it might be that you're here today and you do not know who Christ is. You've never come to a realization that you are a sinner, that your sin separates you from God. And because of your sin, you have need of a sacrifice being made. May I tell you, the sacrifice that God made was Jesus Christ. He is the God-man, and he is all God and he is all man. He came down. He lived a sinless, perfect life to offer himself a sacrifice once for all. You can't make that sacrifice for yourself because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And if you were to make that sacrifice for yourself, friend, you would make it with your death. And if there's death, you have not life. But because Christ died for you and he is God and he had power over death and hell and listen, and ability to forgive you of your sins, and that was his desire in coming. God loved the world. He gave himself. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, listen, that the world, you included, through him, might be saved. Amen. Listen, it took all of God and all the humanity of Christ to provide you an opportunity for salvation, that you don't have to make your own payment for sin. And listen, God didn't do that for you so you could just walk out into the camp and go, glad I got that taken care of and never take a bath again. Yep. I mean, that you spiritually could just go off and do your own thing and live how unto yourself and live how you want and just do it as you please. No. We talked about this in Sunday school, in our Sunday school downstairs, Philippians in chapter number 1 and verse number 27. Only, Paul said this, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah. I mean, from the time you got saved to this present, listen to me, it should be that what Christ did is the filter by which everything is done in your life. And you should stop and go, listen, did Jesus die for what I'm doing? What did Jesus die for? He died for our sin. He died to make the payment for our sin. So is what I'm involving myself in right here and now, is it sin? Does it fit the criteria of what sin is? And if it does, then listen, as a child of God, I should stop and go, no. God didn't make that payment for me so I could continue in sin, but quite the contrary. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Christ made that sacrifice so that I can have life and I'm to live not unto my old nature and not under the things of this world. I'm to live unto him. And what we call that, friend, is holiness and sanctification. That's what it's called. So did Christ die for this? We can also ask ourselves, is this what Christ lives for? Is this what would project the holiness of God? Is the way I live, is the way I act, are the things I do, are the places I go, are the things I engage myself in, are they sanctified, pure, holy unto God? Or come on, could we ask this? Does this smell like God? Come on. No. Doesn't. Come on. You know when you get around, when you get around something and you go, doesn't smell right in here. We have dogs. My wife has dogs. I love my wife. I try to love her dogs. We get in the car every now and then with five kids who I've tried to make aware that we have dogs. And before we go anywhere, we all need to get out, check our shoes. Somebody's been in something that don't belong in here. Amen. Come on. Come on, we know that. Nobody has to sit around and go, well, I kind of like the odor, you know. Wait, hold on right there. Maybe we got to bottle this. And no. No. Nobody wants that odor in the car. And yet how many times spiritually, come on, spiritually, have we stepped in something that we knew didn't smell right? And we get confronted and, come on, you, everybody in the car. It's not me. I didn't do it. It's not me. I'm not the one until it is one of them has one shoe that's, I mean, it's very blatantly obvious. They stepped in something. And we spiritually sometimes are the same way. Everybody in the house can say, listen, your attitude's off. You're acting wrong. Well, how? Because you don't smell right. You just don't smell right. And it does not, listen, the way you're acting and the way you're talking and the way you're carrying on and the things you're involving yourself in and the activities you're involving yourself in, listen, it does not smell like the holiness of God. It's not like we're standing right outside of the Holy of Holies and we're smelling the very presence of that's who God is, and that's how God would act, and that's what God would do. And I'm telling you, everything that's coming into my senses right now from my nose is telling me of what God would desire. I'm telling you. Sometimes we step in stuff and we want to sit around and, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what everybody's problem is. The problem is you ought to clean your shoe off. That's the problem. The problem is you need to stop being arrogant and stop being prideful and stop acting like everybody else has the problem. And this is just how I am. I just like my shoes smelling like this. No, you don't. No, you don't. We should be interested. Listen, and we must be careful. I'll bring this to a close. We must be careful how we smell. Amen. I mean, we would come on. I think in the day and age we live in, it'd just be common that we would be self-aware. Come on, we would be self-aware that I need to take a bath. Come on, I think that would be just general hygiene. That most people. I'm not saying all people. I'm just saying most folk would just stop and go, yep, it's time. It's time to go. Come on, we talked Wednesday night about, you know, dirty and clean and sniffing wear, right? You know, and I won't get into all that again. I'll get into another time, but not this morning. But come on, you take that shirt off and go, yeah, I can't wear that again. And some of you would never do that, but the men would all do that, right? Every man in here would go, yeah, it's not dirty. And, you know, but I'm telling you, if mom picked it up, she could point out every spot this world has to offer on. Look at this spot here and here. What do you mean this isn't dirty? Why would you wear that again, you know? We must be careful how we smell. We ought to be careful as well what we smell. No. And there should be discernment. Well, I don't like it. I don't know that it's, I mean, right or wrong. So I'm gonna try it and I'll figure it out as I go. I'm telling you, that kind of lifestyle and that type of Christianity is lacking in a great way in discernment. The Bible tells us we're to try the spirits. We need to try things, and we ought to give it the smell test and go, yes, no, and I'm just saying, I think the kind of Christianity that says, listen, we're just going to try, and if it ends up smelling bad in the end, then we'll repent and God will be okay about it. I'm telling you, that is garbage Christianity, and it should have stayed in the garbage to begin with. Yeah. No, if you don't know whether it smells bad or good, you say, well, I just think it's kind of odor neutral. Then friend, you ought to be really careful and discerning before you go ahead and pick it up. Yeah, I remember we got friend day. I'll just say this. I love Mrs. Choi to death. Love her. She's not here, so I can give this illustration. First friend day we ever had here, Miss Choi brought these platters. And they looked nice. They were really nice. She's like, and we were saying we're going to be serving people. And she found these platters and they were perfect. I mean, they really were. They were exactly what we needed, you know, to serve some different things. I'm like, this is awesome, Miss Choi. Thank you so much. At the end, I mean, we were using them and we're going on. I was like, man, Mrs. Choi, we could probably use a couple more of those in the future. Where did you get them? Some of you ate this food. I didn't know about it at the time. I said, where did you get these? These were awesome. She said, they were in my neighbor's trash. And she dug them out and brought them here for you to eat off of. I'm just going to say, I love Mrs. Choi. If you ever need to call her and say, Brother Carter, Pastor Carter told this story about you, I'll deny it. No, it's recorded. I'm just kidding. But listen, come on. There's some things that Christianity practices today that came right out of a trash can and it smelled it and go, well, I wonder why somebody threw this. I don't know that this should have been thrown away. I think there's some use to this. And I'm sorry, it probably should have just been left on the pile where you first saw it. Because I'm just telling you, most of you would never eat here again if you knew that. I can promise you, nothing we're serving with or serving came out of the trash. And he said, you know, it just hasn't. Hand to the Lord. Amen. Then I didn't know. I learned quickly. But come on. We ought to be discerning in what we smell is the point. We ought to be discerning where we're looking for what we're going to smell. We should be careful how we smell. We should be careful what we smell. And I'm telling you, if we're going out and looking in the camp for things that smell good and then wanting to bring them into the church and go, hey, man, I found this outside and I brought it in and I think we ought to use it in here. When the things that should be smelled in here are only to be sanctified unto the Lord, holy, pure, right, and sanctified. Yeah. Got to be careful about that. And this is another thing we got to be careful about when it comes to smells. Is I got to be mindful that I live out in the camp. I do. So do you. Say, man, I wish we could just all live here all the time. Well, you don't get to do that. We'd have to put in a sprinkler system. The cost would be enormous. No, we don't live here, do we? We live out in the camp. And this is a reality that you're going to be around people that don't smell right. And you're going to be around people that you go, oh my goodness. We are. You are. That's a reality. You say, well, what needs to happen? So you need to go find somebody and say, listen, I know a place where you could get cleaned up. I know a place where you could find the things you need to smell a little different. I'm telling you, this world doesn't need us going out in it and being, I don't want anything to do with them. They smell. I'm telling you, that's rude. We should not be rude. We should not be arrogant. Oh, I smell better than... No. The world doesn't need us to be out there rude, crude, mean, pointing out everybody's odor. I'm talking spiritually. Help me. I hope we understand that. But what this world needs is someone who's just going to be loving and kind and honest and truthful and say, listen, I'd love to help you. And I'd like to bring you to a place where it smells a little different. Like you bring you in a place where the odor might not be the same as what you're used to. But I'm telling you, you're going to like what you smell. Because what they should be smelling when they come to this place is Him and not what's out there in the camp. And if they come in here and they smell what's out there in the camp, I'll tell you, shame on me and shame on you. Because it should smell different in here. Because we've made sure that it smells different in here. We with a heart of compassion should go out into the camp and say, listen, I know it stinks out here in the camp. I know conditions out here in the camp, they just aren't favorable. And it'd be great if we're 3,000 years in the future and everything was different in hygiene and all that. We all had bathrooms and such. But we're still here in the camp. We better get to a place where, you know, something can be done about our humanity. and we can get in the presence of a holy God that smells a whole lot different than what the camp does and what humanity ever did. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.